we're going to go back to stand-up today. We're going to look at a person that Jesus loved very much. In fact, every time he was in town in Bethany, he would go by and visit this person, and she was a bully. Aren't you glad Jesus visits bullies? If not, sometimes he wouldn't come by some of our houses, would he? Say, did you just call us a bully? Some of us. Some of us. And I think there's different kinds of bullies. You know, there's the extrovert, and I think the extrovert probably is a more aggressive bully. And the introvert can also be a bully. Most of them are pouting bullies. How many pouting bullies do we have? They wouldn't tell me, but they're pouting right now because I called them a pouter. And so really, I mean, we all, you know, in fact, my wife told me the other day, she said, you're just getting to where you pout at me. And I thought, really? And I thought about that because I'm really not a pouter as much as I am a talker. You know, I love to talk. And I think that's why God said he's going to talk anyway. Let's just make him a preacher. And I like to address things quickly. If we have something that needs to be addressed, it's out of order. And as a leader, a husband, whatever, I like to address it quickly. But she said that, I thought, you know, she don't usually talk unless it's got some merit to it. And what I've noticed about me when she said that was I do try to think more before I answer than I used to. I think part of it has to do with age, because the older we get, the more we know that we don't know very much. I mean, he's lived long enough through that cycle. You know, you kind of become a teen and a young adult. You think, I pretty much know, I know a lot. And then the older you get, it's the more you think, man, I used to stand on that hill and that would used to stand up for that. But I don't think I'd die for that anymore. You know, and so we choose our battles more wisely and all. So, but we're going to look at a bully that Jesus loved very much. And by the way, ladies, it was a woman. In fact, there's very few men that would stand up to Jesus the way she stood up to Jesus. And usually in the wild, it's nature even confirms this. In the wild, it's not the daddy bear that'll get you around her cubs. It's a mama bear, isn't it, that'll kill you. And, you know, so you don't get in between her and her cubs. So that's, but it's a lady, and she's probably a very A-type, aggressive lady. I'll show you a couple things with her that proves that. And then she had a sister that was an introvert, meditator. She liked to meditate and, you know, just think and probably analyze and all. And so they were just different. They were different, but we'll show you a bully. Everybody got your sword and ready to learn today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible and want to turn with Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. How many knows who I'm talking about already? Who am I talking about? Martha. Or as Jesus called her, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. And here's what I want to give us today. I believe all of us, like I said, I believe all of us in our own right are bullies. You know, we can, if we don't lead a department or not a leader, doesn't mean you don't have somebody you can bully. You can bully your coworkers, you can bully your kids, you can bully your spouse. On the news this morning was getting ready and it said that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes is getting a divorce and she was just tired of him bullying her around, telling her where she'd go on vacation, where she'd be, what she'd do, and all this. I don't know if it's true or not, but how many knows everybody's got problems? Don't matter if you got millions of dollars. Somebody said a while back he was quoted as being worth over $300 million. You'd think if you had that much money, you could just fix anything, wouldn't you? Like I read a little sign a while back, and it said, somebody said, money's not the key to success, but I figure if I got enough money, I can make my own key. But it's not success is not about money, is it? And it doesn't mean that you can, you know, your personality, whatever it is. But so let's look at the story in verse 38, Luke chapter 10. Now it happened, I think the King James said, it came to pass, which I interpret that as meaning she had, Martha had no text, no phone call, no email that Jesus was coming. She had none of that. She, you know, we went out to dinner with Jana's sister and them. They called us. We're at the edge of Ada, you know, and we're coming in, you know, so you prepare and everything. And so, how many ladies would say it's bad enough if you have company, but it's worse when you have company that's unannounced? And why? Because you got to pick up the underwear and then, you know, you got to do the dishes if they're in the sink, or you want to make it presentable if it's your house, right? So it's Martha's house, and it happened. It's not a schedule thing, and he drops by, and you know, he's always got his crew with him, and so here he is unannounced with a dozen guys, and he comes in, and it's her house. And I think that's important for us to know, because if it's Mary's house, it could have been a different story. If it's somebody else's house, it might have been different, but it's not. It was her house. And he entered a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And so she's glad to see him. She really is. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat. Everybody say sat. How many ladies has ever hosted something and all the other ladies just sat? I remember one of my aunts. When she would come from Texas and she would visit our house, and she would just sit and watch Mother prepare the meals and all. And Mother's a great server, so she never complained about that much, but it kind of always bothered me, you know, because we had a pretty good-sized family, you know, a few kids, and then they had a couple, two or three kids, and Mother's always up doing, you know, just sitting. And so I think it's important to know that Martha is serving while Mary is sitting. And here's what I want you to get out of this, that, you know what, it's circumstances that we look at and we evaluate can make you and I a bully. Are you with me? If we look and we think we're being taken advantage of, how many knows that's when the aggressiveness comes out? That's when we want to, you know, stand up and say something. And so she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, and here's the first key word, was distracted. You know, it's one thing to serve, and it's one thing, another thing to be distracted. How many just gets aggravated at distractions? You know, you say, I want to, and what distraction means is, I want to focus on this, but I can't because I'm distracted. This is not what I want to be doing right now. And when according to your personality, whatever, if you're doing something you really don't want to do, have me be honest and just say, I get frustrated pretty quickly when I'm distracted and I'm not being able to do what I really want to do. Most of us do. You know, whether it's getting somewhere and we got to, you know, you live in Ada, Oklahoma, you may not have a slow driver. You may have a tractor in front of you. And you can't run over them. They're too big. But you know, you're distracted. You go to the store and somebody, you know, is in front of you. You go some, you know, wherever, fast food, and it's just lines everywhere. And you're trying to get something done at work, and people keep distracting you. And it's frustrating, isn't it? And so her first thing was she's distracted. And instead of doing what she should have been doing, probably just laying down all the cooking utensils and turning off the stove. She should have been in there listening to, that's probably what she really wanted to do, but she didn't because she's a server. That's her nature, is to serve. So she's doing what she's called to do, but she's distracted because she shouldn't be doing it right now. And so the thing is, so she's not doing what she wants to do. She's distracted. And so she's in the kitchen and her anger's building. And it says Martha was distracted with much serving. And then, so when you're distracted, it's bad, but when you're really distracted with overwhelmed doing something you really don't want to do, and it's more than you want, it just adds to the fire, doesn't it? And so, whatever your personality is, if you're an extrovert, it's going to come out. If you're introvert, you're going to puff up, and it's going to go inward, but it's still going to build, isn't it? It's just one's outward, one's inward. Same difference. same accountability to God when we answer to God for this mood and attitude we're in, because we won't say or change what we need to change. We'll just go ahead and do it with an attitude. How many's ever just done it with an attitude? Whatever it was, you're going to go ahead and do it, but you're not going to be happy about it, but I'll do it. You know, in our Bible study Wednesday night, one of the students said, is this correct? I've always heard whenever we stand before God and there'll be like a something coming across all of our works, and some of them will burn up, and we won't be rewarded for those, and then we'll lose reward for those or whatever that we would have had, and then some of them will go through the fire and we'll be rewarded. And I said, that's what the Word says. And so at those times, listen, it's worth hearing. At those times when we know we're distracted, we're aggravated, we ought to just stop. No matter if you're introvert, extrovert, just stop and adjust what needs to be adjusted. Because we're going to go ahead and do it, but the bad part is when we stand before God, there's not going to be any reward. In fact, it might be a little embarrassing to know that, you know, we copped an attitude and we went ahead and did the work, but it wasn't to par really, but we did it because we said we'd do it and we're aggravated about it and we didn't want to. That's Martha. She's in the kitchen with much serving. And she approached him. How many knows who him is? That's Jesus. And said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I mean, that's what a bully would say. Have you ever been bullied by someone that said to you, looked at you? Do you care? Do you even care? You know, and they got the attitude and they got the... That's a bully, isn't it? How many's ever done that to somebody? You even care? And then she asked him about, she questioned his character, and then she looks at him and says, therefore tell her to help me. Now she's telling Jesus what to say. I don't think any man would bully Jesus like that. What we would do, men, we would say, well, if I was Jesus, I'd tell you what I'd do. But a woman says, tell her to help me, would you? You know, you're the big authority here. Tell her to help me. And so she's literally bullying Jesus. And we've all been the bully probably in that situation. We've been the one that's been receiving the bullying. And so I just want you to show you that there's a few things here that if we're not careful, we'll wind up just like Martha, or we'll be on the other end of it. We'll be just like Mary. This is typical bullying and the way we receive it. But Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled. Now, serving has turned into worries and troubles. That's what I'm talking about. When you don't want to do something, it's no longer serving and no longer benefits for the kingdom. Now it's turned into worry and troubling. And how many knows God doesn't honor and pay blessings for worry and troubles? So what I'd like to fix today with us is, instead of going ahead, and maybe some of you be there this Wednesday, family would be around, and you'll feel like you're serving the most and getting the raw end of the deal, just stop. Don't do it with worried and troubled minds. Sit down and have a conversation. Jesus said, you're worried and you're troubled about many things. You know what he's saying? You know what, Martha? Mary is not your problem. You are your problem. Now, just a little note for all the extroverts in here. When it needs to be said, Jesus said it, so it's okay to go ahead and say it. And for all you introverts, it might feel good for you to say it instead of sit there and raise your blood pressure. I know you can't help it because you're an introvert, but you might try it just once. You might break an old habit. You might become somewhat of an extrovert. Because one, it feels good because you said what needs to be said. And two, you don't have to put up with the behavior that's aggravating you and you're stressed and worried about from this point forward. It'll change. It may not be exactly like you'd want it, but it'll be better than it was with you in the pressure cooker. Are you with me? And this is what he says. But one thing, everybody say one thing. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. If we're under pressure, we're feeling bullied. You know, and all, there's what is the one thing I need to change right now? There's something, I'm either being bullied or I'm stewing and I'm going to bully somebody. What is the one thing I need to change? For Martha, it would have been one thing was to put it down, walk in and sit down. Or she could have said, hey, can I get a little help in the kitchen, please? Or if I can't, do you guys want to eat right now? How many knows some people, when you come to their house, when it's time to eat, it's just time to eat. You know, you're visiting or something and they say, well, it's time to eat. Well, you know what? There's nothing I can find in the scripture that says you got to eat when it's time to eat. If you're hungry, eat. If you're not, don't worry about it. I told our Bible students Wednesday night, I said, I'm talking about this Wednesday, but I said when Jesus would go into a prayer meeting, groups would come together and assemble, it might be 2 or 3 days before he ate, and then he'd look around and people's fainting. He said, what's wrong with you? Oh, they're not sick, they're hungry, they're fainting. You know, they haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days, and then he'd feed them. So he didn't get really excited about eating. I don't think Jesus gave any kind of impression when he got to the house, oh, Martha, it's time for dinner, and it's your house, you're going to feed us? I don't think he gave her any of that kind of impression. But she took it upon herself. It's dinner time. It's my house. And she's distracted with much serving. And Jesus says there's one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. Everybody say good part. In a bad situation where you're either being the bully or you're being bullied, look for the good part. There's a good part going on, but how many knows we can't see the good part when we're all, you know, steam's coming out our ears. We can't see it. And there's a good part in her house, but she's all huffy and puffy and trying to bully Jesus. And she's standing up, but she's standing up for the wrong reason. And he said, you know, which will not be taken away from her, by the way. In other words, you know, she's chosen to sit here and listen to me, and what I'm saying right now is feeding her soul. She's growing spiritually, and it's a lot more important than what you're doing in the kitchen. Let me give you three assumptions that Martha had, and these are three assumptions that we have, and that'll make us want to bully somebody, or if we're being bullied, you can look and see, and these are usually present. Number one, Martha assumes that what she's doing trumps what Mary's doing. I deal with that here at the church. You know, there's people that clean the toilets and vacuum the floors, and they're really doing something. Well, all I do is stand up here and talk. That must be nice, just to be able to stand up there and talk while we clean. If you really want to do ministry, get in that hot kitchen. That's where ministry's really at, not up here just talking. Anybody can stand up and talk. How about you singers? You just stand up here and sing and, you know, float around and while there's real work done out in the garden. If you want to really ministry, go mow or go out in the garden. You're up there singing, having a good time. You don't even break a sweat. I mean, you know, that sounds petty, but that's what happens when you think what you're doing trumps what somebody else is doing. And that's the reality. That'll probably be a reality for some of you Wednesday if you gather with a group. Well, I'm serving. I brought more. What I brought trumps what you brought. You brought drinks. Look at all what I brought. You shouldn't even be eating today. Come on, we all do it, right? We trump. What I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. What I'm contributing is more than what you're contributing. So I'm going to get an attitude toward you. I'm going to bully you. And then they go over, they bring drinks, and then they go over and just heap stuff on their plate like they just own the place. First in line, you know. And then all your righteousness just goes out the window. You have no pleasant thoughts of them at all. Why? Because what you did is trumping what they did. Well, my contribution trumps what you did. And that's a poor assumption, isn't it? And we have to ask, what is the good part? Well, the good part is I did more than my part of contributing. I went the extra mile. And when we stand before God, whether it's a family gathering and I've done went the extra mile or whatever it is, I'll be rewarded and they won't. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Not a stressed out, troubled giver. He loves a cheerful giver. So some of you can go and enjoy your holiday now. Aren't you glad you came? You can go ahead and go now, Donnie. I got two more points, but you can probably only remember one anyway. So head on out the door, my friend. Well, you know, he's a haggler, so hagglers get haggled. I'm sorry. Martha's first assumption led to another assumption. And you can tell by her voice, it led to another assumption. And the second assumption was, Jesus either doesn't have a clue, because after all, he is a male. Or he just doesn't care. That's her second assumption. He doesn't have a clue that Mary's down there. He doesn't have a clue what all I'm doing in this kitchen. And we have to go with the first assumption, because she comes out and blatantly says, do you not care? So we have to go with the first assumption that, you know, she just thinks he doesn't care. How many ladies, though, can relate to Martha at that stage, really? That you have a male in the house or have had one, and, you know, they just don't have a clue. In our new little house that we have, we're renting and all, I've been doing laundry. And I do pretty well if Jana's not there. But if she's there, like yesterday, we were getting around and, you know, just a kick around day. And I thought, well, there's piling up here. And I had two piles of laundry, and one of them had colors in it, one of them had whites. I've learned that, and that's pretty cool. And so I'm picking up this pile, and she said, that does not go. You can put that one over here. And I thought, how do you know all that? And so I know we don't have a clue. We think we do. And I don't do laundry if she's there. I don't do laundry if she's here, and you do good. Jesus is always saying, attaboy, attaboy, attaboy. Jesus saying to the guy, he don't have a clue, does he? He don't have a clue. Listen, here's the second assumption that Martha had and we have, is people don't care when they really do. What happens is you're stressing because you're over, you know, you think you're being overworked and underappreciated. And so what happens to us is then we start assuming that people don't care. Listen, if they probably wouldn't be there if they don't care. Now, I know there's people that some people just don't care. But you know what? They don't. That's not where your reward comes from, is other people. It's from God if we give or we do what we do for the glory of God. Not because what somebody else brings or not. And listen, next year, just make the adjustments. You know, next year, if you bring more this year and they do, and or whatever the situation is, just, you know, start making adjustments for that and figure out what the good part. What would be good for me if they did nothing? What could I do? And what would I look at and say, this is a good thing? Probably you'd just bring what you normally bring, because that's what you do. That's who you are. Or you can do like Martha, and you can start bullying and getting an attitude. And either saying something if you're extrovert, or holding it in and getting puffy if you're introvert. Either way, it's still being a bully. You're a quiet bully or a loud bully, you're a bully. Kind of like there's people that eat a lot and it shows. There's people that eat a lot that don't show. I hate those people, don't you? I call them skinny gluttons, what I call them. And here's the third thing Martha assumes. Martha assumes that this is my house. It said it came to her house. This is my house, so my authority, I'm the authority in my house. And that's true. That is true, except for your authority and my authority never trumps righteousness. Are you with me? She talks bluntly to Jesus, but then she tells him what to do, and she does not have that kind of authority. We don't have that kind of authority. I don't care whose house you're in. You can be in your house and you have authority to say, you know, you don't curse in my house, you don't drink that in my house, or smoke that, or whatever it might be. But we don't, Jesus never, we never can trump the authority to be rude and crude and be a bully. It just doesn't give us that kind of authority to say, you know, it's kind of like honking. Can you honk in a friendly voice? Honk! There's just no such thing, is there? I mean, there's people that do it more friendly, you know, the doot, doot. You can tell they're kind of trying to, I just want to nudge you a little bit. Then there's a, oh, you know, but it's still horn cussing, isn't it? Get out of my way. That's what it's saying, right? Anything in between, it's still, move along, Sally. So she assumes, and so never assume, you know, I'm the pastor of this church, I'm the senior pastor of the church, but I don't have authority to be rude to you. I don't have the authority to tell you, you know, command you to do whatever. We have the authority to serve. We have the authority to, you know, to do whatever God called us to do. But we never have the authority. So she assumes she has authority just to blurt out what she wants. This is my house, and I'll tell him, and he'll tell her, and we'll go on with the day. But that's a bully. Martha's being a bully because she's not considered of Mary's feelings. Can you imagine if you're Mary and you're sitting there and she says that about you? Would you tell Donna Clark to get up and help me? You know, you put your name in there. Would you tell Jack to get up and help me? Sitting there, just sitting there while I'm doing all this serving by myself. You put your name in there. You'd consider that a bully, wouldn't you? I would. Now, turn with me to John chapter 11. I want to show you something. You know, for some of you that it's hard to say what needs to be said, this is a good lesson, because people like Martha, they don't change. That's her makeup. Martha's always going to say what she thinks needs to be said. I'm that way. I'm always going to usually say what needs to be said. I'm trying to meditate a little more and think a little longer before I say. But usually, and if that's your makeup, you're just going to say it, you know. Gina Gall, she's going to say what needs to be said. That's her makeup. Is that right, girls? Yeah, you're looking, Mama, get your toes. She needs to. Yeah. And then some of you, you know, you just, like you said, you're on the other end, and you might say it, you might not. And then some of you are just really introverts, and you just pout about it until they say, what's wrong? And you'll say, nothing. You know, you go through your ritual. You know, and you drag it out of them. Remember, you're a silent bully. You're just a silent bully. You're no different. You're no better because you don't say anything. You're just a silent bully versus a verbal bully. And all the extroverts said, thank you for saying that, Pastor. Right? John chapter 11, now there's a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany of the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. Guess who gets honorable mention? Oh, Mary. Oh, yeah, and her sister. Her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So you see, here's Mary again, and she's just tending to Jesus. She's either sitting at his feet or grooming his hair or something. When Jesus is around, you can forget it. Mary's not going to help you do anything. So you might as well adjust and say, okay, when Jesus is around, I'm not cooking. When Jesus is around, I'm not clean. I'm not being accommodating until I want to. I want to. I want to do it. I don't care what Mary's doing. I want to, because she's just going to hang out with Jesus. And it says, therefore his sisters sent to him, Mary and Martha sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. He loves this family. He visits with them. He stays with them. He loves, you know, they're his friends. And so when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. Remember I told you it's the bully that he visited that he loved. And guess what? All you extrovert bullies and silent bullies, he loves you too. Isn't that good to know? Just where we are, he loves us, and he says we should grow from it, but he still loves us. So when he heard he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was, and after this, He said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, he talks to his disciples there a while, but we're going to skip this. And finally he goes, and Thomas says, we're all going to go with him and die. And, you know, and he had those kind of followers. Thomas is a doubting bully. He just bully you with doubt, you know, just speaking doubt every day and things. So let's go on down and to verse 19. Verse 19. He's come into Bethany and he's about 2 miles away, the Bible says in verse 18. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the tomb for a while. And now watch. Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was where? She's where she always is, just sitting around. Now, you can get aggravated at the sitters. She's sad, so what does she do when she's in deep thought? She sits. She sits and she thinks. If you're a server, you can get up and serve. But you don't need to get mad at the one sitting and serving, or sitting and not serving, or the sitter don't need to be mad at the one. How can you just get up and serve when there's such a crisis and all this stuff, you know? You don't need to get mad. You just need to know it's different. Or you're going to bully people if you don't respect who they are. I had tickled at Jan Murray the other night. We were just talking about doing, you know, and I need to be doing something. In fact, she told me, she said, I'm sorry. And I said, what did you do now? And she said, I tried to make you God and you are not God. I thought, thank you, I think. And she just wanted me to read some stuff she's doing for ministry. And said, I said, well, just enjoy, you know, just you're retired now. And I said, but we need to be doing something. That's her personality. And then she was haggling on Jim for sitting out in the shade tree just swinging. Remember the old song, just a swinging, you know. That's Jim out there on the porch, just a swinging. Enjoying life. He's retired. He paid his dues. He's a board member here. He's always doing around the church and mowing and helping and with dinners and just he does his part and then he enjoys the rest of his day. And I got so tickled at her because she said, Jim said, well, why don't you just come sit with me? Nah, you know, I can't sit. She's Martha. So Martha storms back in the house, you know, and does what Martha does. She serves. And there's Mary Jim just sitting and swinging. Oh, you're a good God. I tell you, man, you're a good God. Bless my wife. Help her not stress, Lord. know? Now they can look for the good part or they can stress each other out. And each person in here is the same way. At home, I sit a lot more than Jana. She likes to be up doing something. We'll go home today and I want to get in my chair when we finally get home. And she'll say, you ready to walk? You ready to walk? You ready to walk? And she'll come back in. You ready to walk now? Because she likes to just be up doing stuff. When she went to the doctor going through all this stuff, they said, man, you have like a heartbeat of a distance runner, a marathon runner. And her blood pressure is like 96 over 56 or something. You know, it's like, are you okay? She says, yeah, that's normal for me. Except when I make her mad, then it goes a little bit higher than that. You want me to bring it up, Doc? I can bring it up real quick if you want help. So Martha, as soon as she heard he was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, she's going to say what needs to be said. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How are you? I don't know why Martha's just do what Martha's do, but they do. Because we just say what needs to be said, whether it's good or bad. How many knows she shouldn't have said that? But she don't care who it is, and now she's bullying Jesus again. It is all your fault my brother died. Thanks for coming late. Some of us bully Jesus. Well, I asked and it didn't do any good, so why ask again? Come on, holy bullies. I got friends like that. They don't ask for much anymore because he didn't do something that was really important to them, so they just really don't ask anymore. I got one friend that he said, I just made him a deal. He didn't answer my prayer, so I just told him I'm not going to church anymore. Yeah. He's a church bully. And Jesus loves him and he's a great guy. But that's just what he said. I thought, well, what do you do with this? Keep the Sabbath holy. I don't know what he does with that. But he's made his peace. That's what he's going to live with. And he'll stand before God and give an account. But God still loves him. I still love him. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. I'm just saying we're different. But we're bullies. Now, I think maybe she thought what she blurted out, and then in verse 22, but even now I know, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give you. So she must have kind of thought, you know, I really was a little tough there. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha, she, instead of just listening, she has to come back. Oh, yeah, Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Listen, and that's a really important question, because for people like us that are going to say what we think need to be said, for some of you that are around us, and for us that are like we are, and there's people like us around us talking, and they say stuff that's kind of harsh, ask a question. He says, do you believe this? Martha, do you believe this? And so when you're being bullied, ask a question. They're coming at you and they're saying, that's all you brought? Are you not eating? Say, why, yes. Did you bring enough for me? Do I need to go get something? Ask some questions. It's a lot less threatening, isn't it? Jesus could have said, you're just goofy. Would you sit down? Some people would have said, you know what? You're just goofy. You don't even know what God's doing here. You're just mouthing off. You need to be quiet. But he didn't. He says, you know, do you believe this? He tells the truth and he asks, do you believe the truth? Now, here's the thing. If you have a bully and you say, you know, the Bible says, do you believe that? And they're being harsh. You say, you know, the Bible says that we should love one another and be kind. Do you believe that? And I don't believe that mess. And, you know, well, then you got a problem, because if they don't believe the truth, you have no weapon. Having those Christians, we ask a question about this and somebody don't believe this, we have no further, we can rest our case. So we ask her, do you believe this? Do you believe I am the resurrection and life? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary. Mary, I think you need to come. The teacher's come and he's calling for you. He's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but he was in a place where Martha had met him. And then the Jews were around in the house and comforting her. And they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying she's going to the tomb to weep there. Because that's all Mary's been doing, just crying. You know, Martha just talked, trying to get it all out. And Mary just sitting there crying. And she's cried here. Now she's going to go sit and cry at the tomb, because that's what she does. Years ago, I had a young couple in my office, and I found this out about his premarital counseling I was doing, and I said, well, tell me about your arguments you have and what happens. And she said, he won't talk to me. I said, what do you mean he won't talk to you? She said, when we get an argument, he just clams up. I said, is that true? And he said, yeah, that's true. I said, Dr. Kerr, I said, are you okay with that? How many women would be okay with that? I said, are you okay with that? She said, yeah. She said, well, we work it out. I said, what do you do? She said, I've learned to give him his space. Because he won't talk. When you confront him about something, said, He'll think about it, and you give him space, and then you come back, and he'll tell you something later. But he'll never, he just couldn't. And then there was some concern about this couple's marriage, and there was a meeting called, and we had a meeting in my office that I thought was shouldn't have been called, and so there were some accusations or concerns about this young man and her getting married, and so whenever these accusations came and they gave him opportunity to speak, guess what he did? He sat there. He would not say a word. They're looking at him and saying, do you not have anything to say for yourself? And I'm just stewing on the inside. I said, let me talk for him. I'm Martha, remember? I said, this young man does not give you answers when he's confronted, because he has to meditate and think for a while. And they're just fine with that, aren't you both? And they're like, I said, so you need to leave him alone and get you a life. I said, this meeting should have never been called. And I looked over at the elder that called, and I said, and you're at fault. Remember, I'm Martha. And they're just crying. Both of them just crying because they're in love. They're still married and they got kids now, and that's been years and years ago. And I told these young people that had concerns, I said, here's the proper channel. You need to go to them. If you see a brother or sister at fault, you go to them. You don't call a board meeting and bring them in front of people. And they wouldn't do it. And then they, call this meeting. And it was awful. It was awful. But it taught me and it taught them that, you know what, there's some people, unless you know who they are, you don't understand why they do what they do. And we can either try to bully them because we're not like that. Why don't you talk? And we can bully them, or we can say, what are you thinking and what do I need to do to help this situation? Ask a question. Mary's sitting and she's crying, and that's what they know she's like that. So they're just going to go follow her and let her sit and cry at the tomb. That's what they're assuming, that she's going to do. When Mary came to where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell down at his feet. She didn't say anything, did she, at first? First, she just, fell down at his feet. She's not like Martha. Martha, the first thing she did when she saw Jesus was tell him where he went wrong. She fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where do you think she heard that? She's heard Martha say that repeatedly because Martha is stewing in the house. Well, if he had been here, I'll tell you one thing. If he would have been here, everybody comes to the house. If he would have come. So Mary's saying it. Therefore, Jesus, when he saw her weeping and the Jews who came out with her weeping, did you notice who's with her? It's all the criers. All the talkers, they're not around her. They're with Martha. Is that right or wrong? No. It's just you criers like to hang out. We don't like it when you're crying. We're like, shut up. Don't. What can I do for you? It's not right or wrong. It's just different. But you take a crier and they'll hang around another crier because they understand each other. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And he's in the middle of all this, and they don't understand. They're clueless. And I think the reason he wept, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, is because they don't have a spiritual clue what's going on. All they have is criticism for the one that's come to bless them. They've become spiritual bullies against the man that loves them and has come to visit them. Listen, God may have said no in the past, but I'm telling you, you become a spiritual bully if you're not careful. Because next time he might say yes to something else and blessing. He still loves you. He's still coming, but sometimes he don't come when we call on him and he don't show up and do what we've asked him to do. And the Jews said, oh, see how they loved him. So Jesus goes to the tomb and he says, verse 39, take away the stone. Guess who's gonna tell him what the problem with that is? It's the talker. Jesus says, can you imagine if you're a pastor having her on your church board or having her in your congregation? Every time you get ready to do something, hey, There's a problem here. You probably hadn't seen it, but I got this spiritual gift. I see everything. She says, and so Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there's a stench and he's been dead for 4 days. I told you, you should have been here. You're not listening. You're still clueless. How many's ever said that? Why won't they change? How many's ever said that about somebody in your life? Why won't they? Will they ever change? Probably not. So what you have to do is just change the way you see them, the way you, instead of, or you can just continue to try to bully them into change if you want to. But you know the story. He took away the stone and he called for Lazarus and he came. Now, look in chapter 12 and I'll close. Here's a different meeting. Lazarus has been raised. Jesus has confronted Martha on numerous occasions. And we see a glimmer of hope for Martha. John chapter 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. That's where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived, right? Where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, whom he raised from the dead. Verse 2. There they made him a supper. And guess who served? Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. So here's her brother. He's not helping. Martha's still serving, isn't she? But now she's serving and she's not griping. Go, Martha! Where's Mary? Where's Mary? Verse 3. Mary took a pound of very costly oil and spikenard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And that house was filled with fragrance oil. That's where Mary is at. Mary's a crier and a sitter, and she's an anointer, and she's just around wherever Jesus is. That's where she's going to be, tending to Jesus. Martha's up serving now. She's not griping anymore because Jesus says to her every time he's around her, do you believe this? You know what? She's chosen the good part, so get off of her case, okay? Somebody has confronted the bully Martha. Now she's learning how to serve without everybody else. Her brother's sitting at the table. Her sister's in there taking care of Jesus. And she's up serving a happy camper. Because somebody had the guts to confront her. Now watch this. Here's Mary. Mary's always getting picked on and always getting bullied. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why is this fragrant oil sold for 300 Not so for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it, you know. But he's still, he's bullying Mary, and here's sitting Mary. Now I want you to know something about Mary. But Jesus said, let her alone. Listen, for all you Marys, for all you introverts, you don't have to take up for yourself all time. Just sit there and serve the Lord in your own way and let Jesus convict them. Did you notice when Martha was ragging on her sister, she said nothing? Who came to her rescue? Jesus. Now one of his disciples is ragging on Mary for doing her ministry and anointing Jesus and using this costly perfume. Who's come to her rescue? Jesus. Again. So some of you that say, I just don't know what to say and I just can't, well, let Jesus do your talking. But here's the thing. Don't be a silent bully. Just keep doing what you're doing with a good attitude and know that your heart is right and you're okay. So she's not going to take up for herself, but Jesus has let her alone. She has kept this for my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have always. And you know what he told them? He said, wherever the gospel is preached over in Matthew, where it gives a different account, he said, let this be mentioned to her and what she did for me. So she's being bullied again, but Jesus took up for her. Not only did he take up for her, he said, but I'll tell you what, we're just going to put her in the scripture. You think Mary felt good that day because somebody tried to bully her and she just sat there with her meek self, crying probably when that was said about her because she's a crier. But Jesus said, leave her alone. And then he put her in the scripture. And we still read about her and what she did for Jesus that day. Now all we know about Martha, she's serving because Martha just going to serve. So here's what I want to leave you with. You can be a silent bully or an extrovert bully, but you're still a bully. Or you can say, you know what, if I'm an extrovert bully, I'll ask more questions. If I'm an introvert, I'll check my heart and I'll check my attitude and I'll check and see if I'm okay and I won't get an attitude, I won't get puffed up and I won't get mad and stew on the inside. I'll keep a good frame of mind, a good heart, and I'll keep serving the way I serve, through tears and sitting and meditating and whatever I do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for insight today and what a bully looks like. And we don't want to be a bully. I really believe most of us really don't want to be a bully. And sometimes all of us extroverts seem to be more of a bully because sometimes we don't think before we speak. So help us to think before we speak. Help us to ask more questions and not be so accusing the way Martha was. When you don't come, we don't say, you didn't show up. If you'd have been here, I know what you could have done and you didn't. Instead of accusing and hammering you, just help us to say, help me trust you, Lord. I want to trust you. That really hurt. That really, really hurt. But I want to trust you. I want to serve you. Heal my feelings. Heal my mind. Heal my thoughts. For all the introverts that just cannot speak, you know, all us extroverts, we may not understand that, but help us to respect it. And help us not bully them because they're wired differently than we are. And help them not to be a silent bully. Someone that puffs up against people and maybe will talk to their friends about other people or however they express it eventually. But help them to have a peace and a calm and help them to have a respect, a new respect for those that are extroverts that say things we shouldn't say and make comments we shouldn't make. Give them a new view of who they are and how they're wired. And help them to cope in a way that they can say, you know what? That hurt, but I won't remain in that hurt. I'll pray for them. I'll bless them. I'll continue to give, continue to sit at Jesus' feet, continue to do what I do, whether they understand or not, because it's not for them. It's for Jesus. And I'll continue to do what I do for the glory of God. And I know one day I'll hear Jesus say, leave them alone. They're doing this for me. So just, we thank you, Lord, for today, for helping us to be more like you. That's our prayer and that's our desire. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. All the church said, amen. For helping us to be more like you.